Okay, we continue in Shir HaShirim. We're on Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalid, which puts us on page Lamed Zayin, on the left-hand side page, Lamed Zayin. As we said, chapter 2 is completely the Jewish people talking to Hashem, and how they're continuing to ask Hashem to bring the Mashiach sooner. And they're discussing their faithfulness that they've showed to Hashem in the past as they are suffering as the rose between the thorns. But yet, and even though Hashem has not been apparently protecting them as much as he's been protecting others, and in the middle of Pasuk Gimel, it turns a little bit, and it's when the Jewish people are like extolling their virtues and saying, in spite of the fact that the Golus has been so bad, still we look forward to being in Hashem's shade again, and even whatever shade he's giving us over here, because we're anticipating a great end, the great sweetness to the palate of what Mashiach and Olam Haba will bring, because we've already tasted the fruits when he brought us at the time of the giving of the Torah at Sinai. And that's what he's leading into in Pasuk Dalet. So that's where we're going to continue in Pasuk Dalet. He says, Heviani el beis hayoyin. He brought me into the house of wine. Vidiglu alai ahava. That's a very hard phrase to translate. But we'll just wait for the commentary to even translate it. So the way we read the pasuk is, Heviani veheviani el beis hayoyin vidiglo alai ahavo. So the commentary is found on page Lamed Ches, third line on the commentary, beis hayoyin. Zocher ani begalosi. I remember, even while I'm in the Golos, Ma Sheviani El Beis Hayayin, that Hashem brought me to the house of wine. And remember, he's already referenced wine in the first chapter. And when was that? Begulas Mitzrayim, when we were redeemed from Egypt. Vishom Ta Amti Nofes Tzufim Rosov. Then I was able to taste the very sweet taste of his words. Va'oneg Hadveikus, and the delight of the cleaving Bo Yisborach to Hashem. So that's the base. I had already tasted once that closeness to Hashem. Vediglo, what's the word diglo? Diglo is from the root word degel. What's a degel?
Flag.
A flag. So what's going on over here? So masha asoli degolim, that which he made flags for me. Vekifani, and he had me encircled by arba machanos hashchina, with the four camps of the shchina, v'hadgolim kedigle malochi asharis, with the flags like the ministering angels' flags. So footnote 11 at the bottom discusses the Medrash that when Hashem was giving us the Torah, the Jewish people saw that the ministering angels were coming down with their flags, as it were. And they very much wanted to have flags. So Hashem says, if you want the flags, you'll get the flags. And that flags we saw in this week's Parsha is when the Jewish people would go on their journey, there would be, every tribe would have a flag. That was their banner. And that's how they would travel. And that's a big theme in Parshas Bamidbor, especially the idea of having a flag. A flag is a banner you rally around, that it defines a lot of what every tribe's purpose is about. And that's really the deeper meaning over here, is that Jewish people want to have great purpose. They see the Malachim have a great purpose, so we want to have purpose as well. And every tribe had its own flag, its own unique role that they played. So that was something that they very much felt close to Hashem and enjoyed that experience that they had. So we remember how good it was, and then how much better it will be. So this is really showing us, giving us encouragement to hang on because we know that the Jewish people will have a very bright future. I mean, we're not doing that bad now, even though we're in Golis, but Golis is far away from the way it should be. But we are longing for what we know is going to be something better than what we've had. And what we've had, we remember how good that tasted. So it's even something better that's going to happen. And Pasuk Hei just continues that theme of describing how good that was, overwhelmingly good it was. So let's continue on with Pasuk Hei. Samchuni bo'ashishos. He sustained me with large containers. We'll see what that means in a minute. Rapiduni batapuchim. And he spread my bed with apples. Kicholas ahavaani. Because I was lovesick. So the way you read it is, Samachuni ba'ashishos rapiduni batapuchim kicholas ahavaani. Let's see the commentary and Lamed Hey, the one line, and it'll go on to the entire, Lamed Ches rather. Samchuni ba'ashishos cholas avoni. Kol kach hayo ha'ava gedola etzli. So great was my love by me for Hashem. Going on to page Lamed Tes. At shayisi cholo la'ava. So I was so lovesick. Ubikashtiv, and I wanted him. V'amarti, and I said at the time, Samchuni ba'ashishos. Sustain me with ashishus. What's ashishus? Hainu ashishe anovim. These are like jugs, containers where wine is held in. Kidechsiva, as it says, no sheav ashishe anovim. The containers of grapes. What does that mean? Vahainu ki kamosha yain hayotse mahamanovim. We know that the wine that comes out of the grapes, humeshaker, it can get you drunk. It's very powerful. In the days of the Talmud, the wine was much more powerful than it was today. So the wine that exudes right out of the grape can get you drunk. It's harmful. Aval kashu muvla banavim, but when it's still absorbed in the grapes, eino mishaker, it's not so, make you so drunk. And therefore, what he's really saying is, we're talking about wine, very strong wine that needs to be diluted. So there's a fancy English word called flagons of wine. I don't know what a flagon is. I looked it up. It's like a container. Container of wine. And they would dilute the wine so it would be drinkable. It was like too powerful, the wine. So samchuni bashishus means that you sustain me with these flagons of wine. It's all a metaphor. But we'll see exactly where this is leading to. So therefore, you know, the wine is so powerful, right? And the whole Yeshias Mitzrayim experience is all compared to wine. We see how many times it keeps being referenced in wine. That's why, no coincidence, why we have four cups of wine at the Seder. Okay, and to see now why, what's this idea with the wine over here? Okay, which is very powerful. So, Kein Haya Hadib, now that's the metaphor. What's the reality? Kein Haya Hadibur Shiyosim Mikodesh Baruch Hu. So to the words of Hashem, when they came out, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Mishaker can get you drunk, as it were. Mirov cholas ha'ava, from the great lovesickness, Vahatava, and the lust, Lisdabik ha'nefesh, that the soul, our souls are lusting to cling. Shu'achelek b'hakol, Shu'akodesh Baruch Hu, it's part of everything, that's Hashem. K'mo Shomer Chazal, as our rabbi said, what happened when Hashem said the first commandment? It said, Mar Shabbos, Shiyatza Nishmasam, their souls left them. What does that mean? I mean, the soul was so, the soul, remember, the Jewish soul is not happy being in a body. It wants to be back to its source. As we've said many times, that planet Earth has gravity. Gravity reflects the fact that's earthliness, mundaneness, grossness that pulls you down and away from Hashem. There's only one thing that we said is not controlled by the force of gravity. And what is that? The flame. The flame, a candle, a flame. Where the flame goes up. And why is that? So we explain, because everything wants to go back to its source. So everything that has earthly elements wants to go to its source, which is the ground. The flame, that's fire, it's like electricity, that's what's going to its source, which is above. So therefore, when King David said that the soul of man, the candle of Hashem is the soul of man, and the candle is the metaphor for the Jewish soul, the soul wants to go up. Our souls want to leave us. But if it leaves us, then we'll be dead. So Hashem creates a reality that as much as our soul wants to go up, it still comes back down. Because to the extent, once the flame leaves the wick, the flame extinguishes, the wick's dead, everything's finished. So what happened that? But that you have to be careful, because big tzaddikim, they want to get out of here. So what happens is, you get so, you know, I'm sorry to bring back an analogy from the first full-length Star Trek movie. Okay. The first one, which was the worst one, but it was still had a good Yasoda there with V'ger. I don't know if you remember. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Voyager 1. That V'ger. Anyway, so they're trying to face, they're up in space, whatever. I don't remember from some years ago. But there was this force, this great force that was traveling through, and they felt it was a divine force. So one of the captains, he just wanted to be part of that force, and he just wanted to leave the crew and just be part of the force and be incorporated into that force, a great force, and he did. So anyway, that's like a muscle that tzaddikim really can sense that there's divine presence out there, and they want to be at one with that divine presence. And therefore, if you're not careful, they will die. What do we mean by dying here?
Physical.
Die just by the fact, there's many ways you can die. You can die by the body falling apart. But this is a death where the body is totally healthy. The soul just leaves. No sickness, no anything. It's the opposite of sickness. It's very spiritually healthy, but too healthy. And just the soul says, I'm out of here. And it's able to release itself from the body. Usually, the human being thinks the body's important and the physical world is important, and you like to have that, and it convinces the soul to stick around. There's some good stuff over here. But a real tzaddik that understands it's just a phony world totally is integrating that idea. So then he just let's get out of here. So the Jewish people were so in love with Hashem at Sinai. When Hashem came, and that's why even Moshe said, you know, keep them. Hashem said, don't let them go on the mountain. That's way too close. So even though they were not by the mountain, still their souls expired. Now, but not that much that they couldn't be brought back. I guess had they gone up to the mountain, then their souls would expire and they'd be gone.
Yeah, but gone to Shammai.
Yeah, but Hashem still wants them on planet Earth. He still wants them. There's still work to be done here.
That's why he separated. Don't go up the mountain.
That's why he said, don't, it's going to be way too much. Mm-hmm. Like, as if Hashem said, I won't be able to bring you back. Mm-hmm. Let's continue and see what happens. So they're not at them. They're way a little bit. But their souls went out. So what did Hashem have to do? For Hutzruch Limnosog, Hashem had to dilute it. So how did he dilute it? Well, then after the second one, the speech came through Moshe's throat. However that worked out. Moshe opens his mouth, and Hashem Ephes put his speech through, let's say, a microphone through Moshe. So it diluted it. It's like you're hearing the word. You know, you got all electronic synthesizers and all this kind of stuff where it could take your voice and do this karaoke. I don't know any of this, but like it does something to your voice, right? You got your voice, you talk into it, it sounds different, right? So the same thing, Hashem spoke into Moshe's.
Was it Moshe speaking?
And then it's Moshe's type of voice of Hashem is filtered through that. Basically, that's what happened.
After that, how can we not listen to Moshe?
Vahaya hadibur dome. So the speech of Moshe was like, here's the point. Kiyayin hamuvla bashuzan, like the wine that's been diluted in the flagon. That's the idea. Sheinu Meshaker Kol Kach. It doesn't get you drunk so badly. But even with the filter, we still died.
Even with the diluting,
we still died. Or at least the first two. Hutzrich l'raptuni b'tavuchim. Then we need the next part of the pasuk. Raptuni, spread my bed with apples. Kimavur b'divrei Chazal. What does that mean? Sham. It says sheyotza nishma. Some their souls went out. At shehutzrach lahotzi ruach megan Eden, until Hashem had to bring a spirit from the Garden of Eden. Shinikra, the Garden of Eden, is called the state tapuchim, the field of apples. Lachayos nafsham, to restore their souls. This was so much from the love sickness. Kilechsiv, as it says, Nafshi yotza b'dibro, my soul went out when he spoke. We'll see that later on in Shirim itself. So you see what's going on over here, that the Jewish people are describing the intense feelings they felt at that experience of Sinai, that they've already tasted it. And was so strong their desire that when Hashem was presenting Himself and speaking, it had to be filled, had to be diluted so much. And with all that, it's still the Jewish people couldn't experience it and exist. And then Hashem had to bring them back to life. So they're all remembering that was a really great experience. And that, remember, that's only a sample. Right, of what could really come. So they know there's good stuff coming, so we're longing for that. Okay, so now let's go to the back and just recap those two psukim in a little bit of an abridged form. And you will have it on page Kuf Lamed Aleph. Kuf Lamed Aleph, left-hand side of the page. Let's look. Yes, it has Gimel through Hay. So I don't think we did Gimel over here either, because it all goes together. So this whole little paragraph succinctly reviews all three psukim here. So he's saying, Afal pi kein, still in all, Re'ei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kashrusi, Hashem will see my kosherness, my goodness. She'af shani shruya b'matzev, she'adinim yisuchim aleinu k'shashara b'in achochim, even now the judgment is now cast against us as we're like the rose amongst thorns. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Omed L'Nagdenu Rake Eitz Tapuach, and Hashem stands over us only like an apple tree, She'ein Lo Tzel, that doesn't have that much shade, amongst the Atzei Yar of the trees of the forest, She'eshem Har Beit Tzel has a lot of shade, right? Even though things are not going well in the Golas, still, Kein Dodi, my beloved, Noe Klapai, relates to me, you're not protecting us so much, min Hashem shachazaka shel atzaras, from the strong son of the sufferings, bein abanos banim, between the sons, in comparison, lumas, in comparison to haumas, to the nations, sheishem sar lamala she megonein alem, that has a ministering angel above that protects them, right? In spite of the fact that things have not been good, see our virtue still, Hashem, afal pk still in all, but see lo chimadati. I still lust for his shade, via shafti, and to sit. I didn't leave Hashem. I haven't left Hashem. That's the real point. No matter how bad the sufferings have been for us, which have been terrible, we still haven't left Hashem. Now, who wouldn't leave Hashem after all this? Years and years. I remember, the Golus now is a piece of cake compared to what Jews went through. I mean, you're talking about really, really bad times. And Jews would not give it up. Majority, vast majority, would not give. Why are they not giving it up? That's because upir yo, his fruit. Shani mekava, I hope sheyavol laylos, it will come to you in the future. Masok lechiki, was sweet to my palate. Shikfar toamti mipir, I already tasted his fruits. When? Now we're coming into the tupsukim today. Be'eshaviyano besyam, when he brought me to the house of wine. Begulas mitzrayim, when he took me out of Egypt. Visham ta'amti nofes soup in Rosov, and I tasted the sweetness and the pleasantness of his words, va'oinegad vekuspo, and the pleasure of the cleaving to Hashem. Ves diglo ani zocheres, I remember the diglo. What does that mean? Sha'osol yakodesh baruch hu, degolim ba'midbar, Hashem made for us camps in the desert. Ve'kifani ba'arba machanos ha'shchina, and he surrounded the four camps with the shchina. When it came out from Yitzhak, Kamo Malach Hashem, we were just like ministering angels. We got to behave like them. And so much was this love, Gedol, that was so great, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atshus Yerchaim, that I needed, what? Le Samchuni Ba'ashishus, I need to be sustained with the flagons. She Yadabra La HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem should not speak to me directly. Kedosh Lo Tiparei Nafshi B'meni, so that my soul should not leave me. Mirov HaRatz on the devil, for my great desire to cleave to him. Eli Yismach, but he rather sustained the Yimzok HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Dibur Hashem, diluted his words, Bashisha Novim with the flagons of the wine, Kamosha Moskim, Yayim Banovim, Shayna Meshakar Kochach, that we mix the wine with the grapes and the other waters, that it doesn't make us so drunk. They Shadibra like Derek Moshe, that he spoke to us through Moshe. Vavel became and still and all. Shosakar Ishvarchu, Bakashasi, he did what we asked. Vidibra like Mitoch Grona Shomosa, and he spoke through Moshe's throat. That was the first two. Even the first two were not direct, was through Moshe's throat. Still we needed, I needed, l'raptuni batapuchim, that I needed him to spread out my bed with the apples, meaning, Hashem would bring a spirit from the Garden of Eden, on Rikra state tapuchim, that's called the field of apples, to revive my soul that went out from me. And why did that happen to me? Because I had such a fiery love. So we remember that fiery love. And all our souls were at Sinai as well. So the Jewish people, somehow in our consciousness, we still remember that fiery love that existed, and we want to come back. Okay, now we go back to the front part of the book. Page Mem, Pasuk Vav. Now he's going to discuss that because of that longing that did invoke certain feelings that Hashem has to us even during the Golos. So in Pasuk Vav he says, Smolo tachas l'roshi v'imino techabekeini. Smolo, his left hand, tachas l'roshi, is under my head. V'imino, and his right hand, techabekeini, hugs me. What does that mean? Says the Tzur Hamor, Smolo tachas l'roshi, schus avas kulos shahoyabi, in the merit of the love of our early betrothal that I had, and that he had for me, Hagenolai has protected me kol kach so much, she'afal pi, she'smolo, even though his left hand, and what is the left hand symbolic of? Attribute of justice. Shumidas hadin. So even though he was bringing the left hand towards us, hamachunim b'shem smolo, judgment is nicknamed left. V'hainu ha'golos, and this is the golos, that's the left. Shehoyali acher kach, that came to Shahayali Achakach Ba'avonasa, because of my sins. It was still Hoyatachas L'Roshi, even though his judgment was under my head. Afal Pikain, still and all, Vimino Techabkeini. He hugged me with his right hand. Meaning, Avshamidas Adin Hoysa Mesucha Bikol Mok, even though the judgment was so spread out, Mikol Mokam, still and all, Yamino, his right hand, Shua Rachamim, which is mercy, Humasavimosi, is encircling me as well. So that's what he's saying, that the merit of our love, our initial love, is even though things are really bad, and Hashem has to put judgment, but there's always the right hand there as well. There is compassion within that punishment. And in the brackets, he just gets a little bit into the grammar of this. V'amar tachas l'roshi, he says that his left hand is under my head. Velome al roshi, but not over my head. I mean, you could put your left hand over the head or under the head. Why? Meaning to say, she'ein midas hadin goveres kol kach, that the judgment wasn't so strong, she had saf me'al roshi, that's like floating over my head. V'omar l'roshi, he said l'roshi, to my head, v'lo roshi, and not my head. Lomer to say, shekolo einshim amigim, all the punishments I got, hu l'to'eles, it's for a purpose, lismoch bo roshi, to support my head. In other words, the proper grammar should be tachas roshi, under my head. But it means tachas, it's under, live, for the purpose of Roshi that my head should continue to exist. For my head, right, exactly. For my head. So his left head was underneath, but it was for my head to keep my head existing. So not such terrible punishments for my benefit. And that's the mercy that we could sense. So that's why in every bad situation that Hashem brings to us in life, there's always some silver lining. There's always, even though something's not going right, tragedies are happening, but there's still something good that comes out, and that gives us confidence that things are still going to be okay. Okay, and in the back of the book, again, quickly, just to get this part in, on Kuf Lamed Beis, he just repeats that again. Schus avas klula shahoya bi, the merit of the love of the betrothal that I had, hagenalai protect me, sha'af shebeshah shebesmolo, that even when the left hand shuadin, which is judgment, hayatachas roshi, which was beneath my head, dina shenag bi b'minis hadin, he conducted with me the attribute of justice, mikomakam salav v'imino, his right hand, shehimidas harachman, that the attribute of mercy, techapkeni, hugged me, l'sovavei, to surround me, m'chol tzad, from all sides, kesivuv shiesh b'chivuv, like the surrounding that's with a hug. So you could, in other words, you're feeling a complete hug. A hug is close, not a handshake. So you could still sense the mercy even within the punishments. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Zion, which is very interesting. Now he's going to describe how much the right hand is hugging me. As bad as it is, he describes how much the right hand is hugging me, and this is a very... So it's one of the longer psukim over here. As you can see, it goes on both sides over here. Hishpati eschem benos Yerushalayim b'itzvos o b'aylos ha-sodeh im to'iru v'im to'ru eswavo ad shetechpots. What's all that going on over here? Hishpati eschem.
Is Hashem or...
What?
Who's saying this?
We're going to, the Jews are speaking. We're speaking about what happened, okay? And Hashem made you swear. Hishpati. The fancy English word is adjure. That means to make someone swear. So Hashem adjured you. Who? The daughters of Yerushalayim, which we already know are the code name for the Goyim. All right? Okay. Now, this pasuk doesn't make any sense on its own. Even translating the words don't make any sense. So just, we should go right to the commentary, because you can't translate unless you have the commentary there. So explaining, so much was his right hand hugging me. At Shomar Kadosh Baruch Hu said, till Hashem, to the point that Hashem is speaking to the nations of the world, Hanikroim Benos Yerushalayim, that are called the daughters of Jerusalem. He's saying the following, Hishpati Eschem, I've made you make an oath. So tuchlo lehitzol Yisrael, that you can't make the Jews suffer. What does that mean? Shel kloimer shegazer begzeru savi yisparach. Hashem made a decree. Atcha umos yu ki ilu he mushboim. It's as if the non-Jews were adjured. In other words, Hashem didn't go to the goyim and make them swear, but Hashem made a decree. Hashem's will, his decree, is as if the non-Jews had to make an oath. Now, why are we saying an oath? Look in the brackets. Kishvuahu mashal ledaber. What's an oath? That's an analogy to what? Shebilti evshar l'shav. That cannot change. Kamo shomer habala keder v'parsan olik bala keder v'parsan. As opposed to a vow. When you make a vow, a neder, you can always go to a chacham and somehow find a way to release yourself from the vow. A shvuah, you can't. An oath, that's it. It cannot be otherwise. So it's as if Hashem made the non-Jews make an oath. And this is the oath. Now they don't know that. But Hashem has put into their psyche. Their psyche what? As much as they hate us. As much as they want to annihilate us. Hashem has put into their psyche that they're not going to totally do it. They're not going to totally do it. Now, how's this? Bitzvaos obayalos. Okay. As tzvaos are gazelles. And ayalos are hinds. Different fast, fleeted animals. But they're code words. When the Jews do the will of Hashem, we are nicknamed tzvaos, gazelles. But we don't do the will of Hashem. Mechunim were nicknamed, next page, Hashem Ayos, as hinds. The chayos hasara, and more of a wild animal in the field. So what does that mean to say? Klomar, bein shu yisol toivim arayim, whether the Jews are good or bad. Now what's this beis in the brackets? What's the beis when saying bitzvaos and bayolos? Hashimu shel bitzvaos bayolos, that's prefixing these words. Hubamakom al, and as opposed to the word al, what does it mean? Regarding. So hakavana vishbati eschem al Yisrael. I have made an oath concerning the Jews. Concerning the Jews, okay? So bit concerning whether what? He's probably told Bain Shiu Begeter Tzvaos O Begeter Ayalos. So he made them swear bit about the Jews, whether they're acting like gazelles or like hinds, whether doing the will or not. What's the oath? Im ta'iru. That's the next words. Literally means if to awaken. All right. Literally, ta'iru is to awaken. Ta'oru is to arouse. But he means over here, mashbim, he made them make an oath. Shim ta'iru. What is ta'iru? She'ein atem yecholim l'hatshalem kochel. You can't make them suffer so much. Achetar shiwa, so that you'll make them wicked. Achetis ni'ehu. Until they will hate me. That's what's in the brackets. Ki ta'iru hu loshen sina. Ta'iru also is an expression of hatred. So what? Achetisne'eu o sam la'kodesh baruch hu. That they should be so hated to Hashem. In words, don't make them that wicked. Don't make them suffer so much that they totally give up Hashem totally and then they hate me and I hate them. So you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't make it that bad that it will bring out a hatred between me and the Jewish people. There's a limit as to how much cruelty you could do to the Jews. And on the other hand, vim ta'oru, v'chein, im ta'oru sa'ava, and also not to arouse the love. Shembrish, meaning to say what? Shembrish, so I don't give you permission, litzer lechem kolchav, to make us suffer so much. At shigmur ribu hatzoris, that the abundance of suffering is so great, l'orer b'tshuva, Esa'ava Sheben Yisrael Lamakum, to arouse the tshuva of the love of the Jews to Hashem. Don't make them suffer that badly that they're doing tshuva because they're suffering, but not so much because they want to come back to me. Sometimes you do tshuva because you just don't have a choice. Right? So bad. Okay, Hashem, I give uncle, you cry uncle. Okay, I give up. You're right. But you don't mean it, you just don't want to suffer. So that, in other words, it could be two ways. If suffering is so bad, you say, I hate you, God. Or you can say, okay, Hashem, please, I'm doing tshuva, I'll come back. He says, hey, you can't do that. You have Solchem. Kikodesh Baruch Hu. Because Hashem doesn't want us to come back that way. Because on Mamtim, Hashem is waiting. Ulai Yeshivu Mibchi Rosam HaTova, from their good free will choice. Not because it's so bad. Maybe when it's so good. What's more important? What is more beloved in Hashem's eyes, that you coming back in the middle of the Holocaust or now? What shows more that the Jew really loves Hashem?
Come from the middle of good living, that's what it is.
Coming right before the Raptors' final game.
That's right.
True. If Hashem will come at 9 o'clock, before game 7, Hashem says, would you like Mashiach now? And the Jews would say, yes. He says, come.
Yeah.
But that's what Hashem's waiting for. So as bad as the Gulls is, as bad as things were, as bad as the Holocaust was, but Hashem gave us a hug. He gave us a state of Israel. He gave us prosperity. He gave a sense there's not such bad anti-Semitism. Why is Hashem doing that? Because he wants us to come back. Now we have a free will choice. No, there's not so much anti-Semitism like it was before. And you really can decide what you want. Anybody can move to Eretz Yisrael now. If you really wanted to, you could. So Hashem's waiting for that.
Bye-bye.
1 second, let me just finish this because I'm running out of time. Rakeshiegia hazman. The only way it can be, if when the time comes, Shiefser l'sachar, then Hashem can't wait any longer because the world has to stop by 6,000. And if God forbid we don't do tshuva by that, when it's good, for your good choice. Oh, Sakodesh Baruch Hu ba'asvo yamele melech Haman. Then Hashem will bring a king like Haman. La'ora and v'tshuva, to arouse him to tshuva. B'ktei la'ora ha'ava shabeinu ma'gvashot, to arouse that love they have between themselves on Hashem. Next page, Mem Gimel. V'zeh shamar, and that's what means, akshetech bas, until I want it. Until the desired time. D'hainu akshetech chefes Hashem, until Hashem wants to redeem them. That he wants it, shetatsir the soul, to make them suffer kol kach so much at shiur b'tshuva, until they're asked to do tshuva. So what the pasuk is saying is, part of the kindness of Hashem, part of the hug is Hashem says to the goyim, don't make it that bad for us. You can make it bad, but not that bad to the point that they're going to hate me and I'm going to hate them. And not to the point that it's so bad they're going to do tshuva, not because they want to do tshuva, but they have to do tshuva. I don't want that either. Because I want them to be able on their own to be able to say, I want to come back to you, Hashem. And if they don't, and time's running out, and we're coming to the year 5,999, and they still don't want, then I'm going to bring them the worst thing they ever had in their lives. Just like Haman brought us back to do tshuva. And that ain't going to be the best, but that's going to be. So that's what it means. So that's what he's saying. The puzzle is saying, I adjured the daughters of Yerushalayim concerning the gazelles and the hinds of the field, no matter what the Jews are like. Do not awaken a hatred or so much desire out of suffering to bring that love, because of to come to that love, until the desired time. What does that mean to say? Okay, if they're not going to do it on their own, okay, you're finally going to have to bring it. Okay, what am I going to do? Okay, I got to stop it here. We didn't do the review pasuk. We'll do that next week. We'll continue, Mirz Hashem, next week. Okay.